APR 4.35%. Call 800-QUICKEN today or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
It's National Pancake Day, and you can get some free pancakes, but IHOP's hoping you'll help children, too. Here's a story from Mark Mayfield.
Select locations will be giving away free short stacks of pancakes. Although the breakfast staple is free, the company hopes that customers will make a donation. IHOP President Darren Rebelez says every pancake has a purpose, and every penny raised goes a long way. They're working with the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and Shriners Hospitals for Children.
Cleanup underway after more than two dozen tornadoes left a trail of damage and widespread destruction across the Midwest. Severe storms knocked out power in the Kansas City area, and tennis ball-sized hail was reported in eastern Kansas and Missouri. As many as 200 people are homeless today. The town of Oak Grove, Missouri, was struck by powerful storms that flattened homes. Meanwhile, forecasters say the threat of severe weather expected to move southward today. Damaging winds and big hail expected from northern Louisiana through southern Tennessee. USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
A man who played Superman on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for years says he's not going to let a horrific crime stop him from making people happy. Here's Jason Campadonia.
Over two decades ago, Christopher Dennis bought a Superman costume and started walking down the Hollywood Walk of Fame, taking pictures with fans for a small donation. The superhero was brutally attacked last year while walking home. Dennis says his attacker hit him with golf clubs and stole his computer, over $900 in cash, and the costume. He made his triumphant return to Hollywood yesterday in a new costume, saying he only wants to make people smile. Jason Campadonia, Los Angeles.
Changes have come to the concealed carry laws of New Jersey. Here's more on the story.
Governor Christie has announced the adoption of new regulations that replace rules requiring an applicant to show justifiable need. The changes will allow law enforcement officials to consider evidence of nonspecific threats in deciding whether to approve a permit application. New Jersey has had one of the tightest laws in the nation when granting permits to carry handguns. Handgun enthusiasts are praising the change, but Democratic lawmakers are vowing to fight it. Sarah Lee Kessler, New Jersey.
The owner of a Brooklyn parking spot wants to sell it, and he's asking more than, well, basically what your home likely costs. This is a space in the Park Slope garage. It's listed for $300,000. 4 years ago, a space in the same parking garage cost $80,000. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Joe Peters from Weikert, and we're going to be doing today a session on the court clerk's office. I've got Mary Melfi and her assistant Sue, and they both are going to introduce themselves in a few minutes. But before we get started, I'm going to give you a few paid commercials, and we're also going to get in and give you what the Weber's doing. Here we go.
Good morning, Hunnenan. This is Big C coming to you from HunnenanChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunnenan County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunnenan kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunnenan County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Okay, it's Joe Peters again. At this point, I'm supposed to give you the weather forecast. So I'm doing this very scientifically. I'm looking at my Android and reading it right off the screen, which you could probably do for yourself. But right now it shows that it's a little overcast, but it's 58 degrees. We're going to go up to 59 tomorrow, 59 again the day after, and it's going to start to cool off again with a little more rain around Friday. And a nice weekend, but cool, back to 31 over the weekend. So a few more paid commercials. We'll be right back.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, it's Joe Peters back, and once again, I'm with Mary Melfi, our county clerk, and Sue Bennett, and your position is?
I'm one of the clerks.
One of the clerks. I thought maybe you were chief clerk in charge
that
or something.
That is Mary Melfi.
That's Mary Melfi. Okay. So, did a sound check. Sounds like we're coming on pretty clear. Why don't we get a little bit about each one of your backgrounds? We'll start with Mary, since she seems to be the head clerk. And Mary's just telling me she's been with the same person for 41 years. I thought I was holding the record at 27.
So. Wow, you got a long way to go. Long way to go.
Wow, and your significant other's name is?
Jim.
Jim, okay, so Mary and Jim. Wow.
Yeah.
So you're a lifelong resident of Hunterdon County?
Not lifelong, pretty much most of my life. I've been in Hunterdon County since I was 8 years old, grew up in Lebanon Borough.
Wow.
Went to grammar school and high school with our surrogate, Susan Huffman.
Okay.
So Susan and I have a 50-plus year friendship.
That's amazing.
She's my longest friend, not the oldest, the longest. Prior to that, I worked at, I started my life in at Yale, Eaton Yale, which is now Costco.
Okay.
I worked at the Ponderosa, and then I went to Flemington Fur, where I was the vice president, director of human resources, until I chose to run for county clerk in 2006.
And the rest is history.
And I had background in government by being on the Flemington Borough Council in 1994, so I had some years on the Flemington Borough Council, but chose to be county clerk and ran spirited primary, had a very spirited primary.
Okay.
And the rest is history. I've written a list to God and said, God, give me a job, and I want everything, and God said, you're going to be county clerk, and that's
isn't
the way
that
it goes.
Wonderful? So county clerk is an elected position.
Correct.
And how often do you get reelected or have to run for reelection?
You run every 5 years. Clerk and the clerk and the surrogate run every five, and the sheriff runs every three.
And that's for us, the sheriff. Okay. So is it a party-aligned position, or is it a general?
It is. I mean, you run as a party. I'm obviously an elected Republican.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, I work for the people, so.
Right. We're going to have to come down and see you because Maryland's passport is expired. And
that's a big thing our office does. We do passports, and I've had a lot of support from the Freeholder Board in offering extra hours.
Okay.
Passports, the last 2 years, the 10-year anniversary is upon us in 2017, which required us a passport to go to Bermuda, Bahamas. Hmm. People my age, we remember getting on the plane with our birth certificate, and we could go all over the place. No longer the case. So the renewal year in 2000, the Western Hemisphere Act, so we've been very active. As a matter of fact, we'll be open for passports every Saturday in March, beginning this Saturday, along with our Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. And
do you have to bring your picture in, or do you do the pictures?
No, we do photos, and we guarantee you're going to love that photo.
That's great. So Saturday mornings, we can come down and do a passport. I'm going to think you'll get to meet Marilyn again. I think you met her the other night. You were sitting with the fellow that's running for governor.
Jack Cittarelli.
I never know how to say his last name, but I know him. I talk to him all the time. I want to get him on here as well.
He's a great guy.
I heard his talk, and I said to Marilyn, you got to go listen to this guy. I can't say it as good as he does, but he's got some really good thinking. I'd really like to see Jack. I know he had a little bout of health issues, but he says other than he glows in the dark, he's in pretty good shape.
Okay.
So good for Jack. Okay, and then Susan, so let's talk a little about your background. It's Sue Bennett again, right?
Sue Bennett.
Okay, so
I was raised in Scotch Plains in Union County. My parents transferred us to Hunterdon County in 1971 in Stanton, which is absolutely lovely.
Oh yeah,
all woods.
Yeah,
and went to school in Reddington Township Schools and the high school in Hunterdon Central. Attended working a lot of retail when I was of age because I love working with people as well.
Yeah,
all over Flemington, in fact. I attended Somerset County College when it was. It's now Raritan Valley College.
I was there this morning for a program.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
I got my associate's in business there. Went to Montclair, got my bachelor's in German. Traveled abroad for a good many years. Worked retail again. And before I came to the county clerk's office, I managed two bookstores. One in Liberty Village that I opened in 1993.
Your own business?
No.
Okay.
It was called the Book Warehouse. All remainder books.
Yep.
So they were really affordable. So we ran a lot of books in and a lot of books out. And I just love books.
Neat.
Sort of puts me in a good position at the county clerk's office. And then I was able to do some conference. They gave me a lot of freedom. I did a lot of teacher conferences. I reset stores. But it was all retail.
Great. So we have a lot in common because I worked in retail too many years. I remember being at Macy's Herald Square. We had to be there around the clock. I had about 32 people in IT, and we had to be there around the clock between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then we all took off for 10 days. Went home Christmas, then come back after the first of the year. Retail is a very seasonal business. And Mary, I saw you won the... Oh, so now how long have you been, Sue, with the county clerk's office then?
In May, it'll be 14 years on the books.
Wow. So you're there before Mary came.
Yes, and I work in the record room, in the search room.
And we're going to talk about the search room because I went through that program last year. The thing I noticed, surprisingly, there were a lot of seniors just looking for something to do, it seemed like.
Absolutely.
That day. Yeah, it's like, oh, we can go look up what so-and-so does. But it was a very interesting day.
Thank you.
So super, super. And how many people in the clerk's office?
I have a staff of 14,
do including
myself.
Do you really?
Yep.
See, I come in and I drop things off once in a while, but I never see their back. I'll have to come and visit
you. And I'm very blessed. I got a great one. Great staff.
That is super. So I saw you won the President's Award from the Chamber this year. I was at the dinner a week ago Friday.
I did. I was quite surprised.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I've been involved with the Chamber since going back to the borough.
Okay.
And Suzanne Legay actually was its president when I got involved with the Chamber.
I didn't realize that.
And that's, now she's a freeholder. So it's life just does full circle.
Isn't that amazing? I spent last year on the Leadership Hunterdon, which is where we first met, and I got to know Suzanne. And it was a little tumultuous at times because we're both a little headstrong, but it was a fun, and we're the best of friends afterwards. So it worked out rather well. And I had, who did I have on? I had Rob Walton on about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was interesting, too. I try to get each one of the Board of Freeholders on once a year, if possible. I put out the invite. Sometimes I hear from them, sometimes I don't. So it depends on their schedule. So tell us about the clerk's office. What would the average person not know about the county clerk's office?
Well, when I ran, my platform was connecting the clerk to the county, because precisely what you're saying, a lot of people didn't know what a county clerk does. And working with the staff and opening up the staff and saying, how can we make ourselves better? What can we do?
Right.
We came up with the extended hours for passports. Elections, we were open for vote by mail. I run a campaign school for people that want to run for local office.
I saw that.
I just ran that in January, and as a matter of fact, our cup runneth over. We had over 50 people in the room. It was just incredible.
Really?
It started out at 8, and I'm like, oh, man, it's going to be a Saturday, and I'm going to have, nobody here. And then as it kept going, and then I had, 35 signed up, and then by the time Saturday morning came, the place was just packed.
That's amazing.
So with the political climate right now,
right,
people are engaged, and I like to see people engaged.
Right.
So that being said, that was done. Another new program that we're just going to start that I'm joining forces with the sheriff and with the Board of Chosen Freeholders is called Identishred.
Okay.
And for people, the first one's going to be on Saturday, April 1st.
April Fool's Day.
Yeah. And people by then, the people that have their act together are going to have all their taxes filed, and they're going to get ready to get rid of all their paperwork. And we're going to run a shredding day 5 times. During the year, on Saturdays behind the historic courthouse in the parking lot.
Okay.
Residents only, not businesses, up to 10 bankers' boxes apiece, and we'll see how it goes. And then, of course, we're sponsoring the shredding at the community day that the chamber has on June 4th.
Okay.
So we did that. And then Sue came to me and she said, people really, and she excels at what she does. People, mm-hmm. I can go through email after letter how people just love her. And she said, let's do a program. She said, I would love to do a program about all the things that are available in this room. And so we came up with Searching the Search Room. And she leads it. I'm going to let her talk about it. But we get a couple title searchers that join us. They volunteer their time.
Right. I met a few of them.
And from there, we do Searching the Search Room. We went dark a couple years because we didn't have support.
Right.
We had a couple bad years, but since then the board's changed and we have lots of support. So So why don't you tell everybody what's going to happen on March 18th?
So let's start by what they can find in the search room when they go to search.
What they can find. How about why people come in and what they can find?
Yeah.
Usually on any given day, we have customers coming in for a copy of their deed or a mortgage, checking, the status of their mortgages if they've been canceled or discharged to make sure when they're ready to sell their home,
right,
everything is good. They feel comfortable. They're not title searchers, but it's something easy that they can do because we're there to show them how to use the computers, which they're very user-friendly.
Yep, I remember that.
And, whether it's old material in a book, and those books are old, or on the computer, they can see for themselves and get that satisfaction. So they'll come in for copies of deeds, mortgages, do some research, do genealogy, do historical research. It could be a building, it could be a person, it doesn't really matter. And everyone leaves with a smile on their face.
That's good to hear.
It's really neat. The material is there. Consider this. I was just looking back. Actually, one of the fourth graders from Highbridge, this group comes in annually now, which is lovely. One of the young people said, so during the 13 colonies, getting together, when do you have records that far back? No, we don't. But consider, 1660, just after that. We have documents that are dated in the 17th century in the
record
room, which is really, it's really mind-blowing.
And I remember the one fact I walked away with was that both Morris County and Mercer County were part of Hunterdon at one time.
Right.
And you said you'll still find reference to them.
And there are, yeah.
I think they got traded in a card game, right?
Really?
I think that's the story I remember.
High-stake poker for counties.
so when you're coming into searching the search room, all of us are there to guide you, but we're there to tell you what you can find there and how it might be valuable to your research, what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Many people don't even know what they're looking for until we tell them, and they get excited, and they'll start their research, and they'll go on a tangent and find something amazing.
Wow.
So, there's something for everyone, any age group, too.
So how is it filed? Is it filed by property or by person?
The way we record the documents,
yep.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
They're filed by, for instance, a deed, seller, a buyer, a block and lot.
Okay.
There's identifying information. It's not by address.
Not by address.
No. But we have tools to get you there.
Got it.
Wherever, whatever you have, we can work with.
Interesting. And do you have police records?
No, we do not.
There's no credit records.
These are land records.
These are land records.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay, so that's what I was looking for. So if anybody wants to know anything, they can come at any time and you'd help them out. But you've got this search room day coming up. And what's that date?
That's April 18th.
April 18th.
March
18th. I'm sorry.
March 18th. So yeah, that's right. That's why we wanted to do today. So that's like a week and a half away. Not this Saturday, next Saturday.
And the thing, what I found is we find people that you have somebody that come. We have several people signed up that have a very old house that want to take it back. We have people that do share sales and want to do information on finding out what's involved in a share sale. There are various reasons. Genealogy, they come in
genealogy. Comes on houses when, just seeing what's selling in the area.
Okay.
Their neighbor's name. Doesn't matter. It's all public record.
It's all you do have to sign a public rights to know kind of document.
They come in and we just help them with a computer and they find what they need.
Really?
Anything that is recorded in my office, with the exception of a veteran's discharge paper, is open to the public.
Open to the public.
So there's no secrets in my place.
But you don't have to sign anything to get to it. You just come in, look it up, and make a copy.
You can look it up and make a copy.
Because when we go to Route 12, I have to sign a form if I want to look at somebody's septic file or whatever.
Well, that's because you're looking at a county-owned record. I mean,
got it.
This is under the New Jersey state law, Title 46, which is and the OPRA law, which we're not even under OPRA. We're just, it's under the public doctrine. You have the right to look at any land record.
Wow. I didn't realize that. So I remember I came in, I stayed around for about 2 hours last time, and I didn't sit down at the computer because I know I could do that, but I just wanted to understand how it worked and what was there. And obviously I forgot half of it, so I probably should come back and go through it again. But there were a couple of older gentlemen in there that were helpers, that I guess they sold your services if you ever wanted to do a title search, if I remember.
The title searchers that volunteer for this program.
Right. So they're working for the title search companies, I guess, on a normal day to earn a living, and then they helped out on this Saturday to help the general public come in.
Yeah, the title searchers that volunteer, they're volunteering for us.
Right.
They do that as a favor to our office, and I'm really grateful that they're
like our family.
Yeah.
Right.
They're there all the time.
So my understanding is a deed is nothing more than Mary sold to John for this price and this date. There's nothing more to it. But a title takes the property that was sold back X number of years, and it could go back 30, it could go back to eternity. Is that the right?
Well, the deed itself is, I mean, if it's a well-read deed,
okay,
it tells you who owned it prior to the sellers.
Okay.
You'll see that. And a really well-written deed has a lot of good information in it.
Hmm.
And again, that's what entices researchers and genealogists.
And how far do they typically go back in that research?
A deed?
Yeah.
Our earliest records in the regular deed area were recorded in 1785. The deeds that had not been recorded prior to that, missing, unrecorded.
Right.
They can recite four or five previous owners. They can recite all the way back to the proprietors of New Jersey, which is really neat.
That's amazing.
It is.
But if somebody was buying 1 Main Street this month and we were going to do a title search on it, how far back would they do that title search?
That is relative to the needs of the person buying.
A typical one will go back 30 years.
That's what I thought it was. There was a reasonable limit.
You know, a typical, you know, unless there's, but, you know, it's interesting because, you know, from being from Flemington, one of the things that they were always fighting about was the old milk routes that ran behind the houses.
Yeah.
You know, that there was no recorded easement or anything, you know, but, you know, they had a driveway behind their house.
Wow.
And, oh, Lord, you know, they'd come in and they'd, you know, that kind of thing can keep you busy for days.
Wow.
trying to track down an easement or a road vacancy.
So if somebody wanted to come in on the 18th, how long would you think they would want to stay there?
Well, the Sue puts on a presentation that usually runs half an hour or so,
mm-hmm.
and then they pretty much get left on their own, and searching is not something that's done quick.
Right.
It's not something, you know, you're not just going to, unless you're coming in just to look up your deed and be in and out, right?
Which some people might want to do.
Yeah.
Right. And you have
to.
Yeah, some people just come in just to find out what's there.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, and I think that's what I think most of those people were. I just felt it was like a day out for a lot of seniors.
But, well.
Well, a lot of them stayed.
Yeah.
They really did.
And we got a lot of them signed up again to do it again. So.
Because if you're anything like me, you don't remember what you learned last year.
Well, and actually what we're going to do, you know, and what Sue suggested is because we have the March 18th date, we're going to open the search room the following Saturday as well.
Okay.
So you have two Saturdays, you know, people that work can't get in during the week.
Right.
And they want to keep their research going. We have found that March is the good month because people don't have anything to do. They're ready to get out of the house.
Yep.
Their kids aren't in sports. You know, we have a couple restaurant owners coming in to check their restaurant out. You know, it's not their prime season.
Right.
So March is, we've found,
is the primo
date to do this course. So.
Perfect. So, and then the end of March, 1st of April, you're going to have the shredding day. And where?
April 1.
Where does all the shredded stuff go to? Is it landfill kind of stuff?
Actually, no. They take it and they recycle it, and the county will get credit toward their recycling,
okay.
which they get. There's a formula that the county gets. They submit it to the state, and then they get portion of a grant back on
Got
the recycling.
It. So is that done like in a parking lot, or do they bring it into the building?
Well, no. The vendor that we've chosen to run the program is responsible for taking it. To recycling facility.
Interesting. And if for some reason they're not ready April 1st, you said there's one again on
Where the next one's going to be the first weekend in May.
In May.
And then the June 4th one will be at the Chamber.
Okay.
Out at the South County Park.
Got it.
Then we're going to take the summer off, come back in September and October and November.
So is June 4th when they have the Chamber Day down there?
Correct.
Okay, so I went to there last year.
That's
I'm on
the
helpline, and I got involved in that down there. It's pretty hard not to get involved in this county. I mean, if you love it, you're involved. I mean, I interviewed Sue Lax for one of the things I was doing.
Oh, the helpline.
The helpline. Next thing I knew it, I was on our board. Okay. And I'm going through the same thing in Somerset. I mean, it's a totally different county, different, but they've got a leadership Somerset thing, and I couldn't get in this year, so I'm going to do it next year. And the two counties are joined at the hip at County Line Road, but they get different and different the farther apart you go. So, interesting. So, with the day coming up on the 18th, does somebody have to sign up, or do they just show up?
Well, we are requesting a registration.
Okay, and how? I will put something on my site for it, if you could send me the form.
If they can either just call my office or email me.
Okay.
The phone number is 908-788-1214.
Okay.
And the website, the best thing to do is just Google Hunterdon County Clerk.
Okay.
And it's a direct.
And all the information is there.
Well, the other thing I forgot to tell you is I do weddings as well.
Wow.
I'm like I do weddings. And
well, are you competing with DJ? Because he does weddings.
Yeah. The law says that county clerks can do weddings, and that's how I'm doing it. But my weddings benefit, when I started doing weddings, I benefit Safe in Hunterdon.
All right.
Which is a nonprofit that helps women or women and families of domestic violence.
Okay.
And to date, I have raised over $48,000 for Safe
Wonderful.
In Hunterdon. Marrying and marrying and marrying.
There you go.
That's not something I choose to do myself, but I don't mind.
And how does somebody choose the county clerk to get married by? I mean, is that...
Well, you know what I'm finding is a lot of people aren't doing the big expensive wedding
right.
anymore. They just want something small, family, and so they go to the municipal clerk, and where's where you get your license, and the clerk will say, well, who's marrying you? Well, we don't know. Who can marry us?
And just then, so happens.
Then they'll say, well, you know, the surrogate, the county clerk, a minister, the mayor, and off they go.
So the surrogate can as well. That's
interesting.
Yep. I see I'm learning something. I'm glad you're on. Of course, I'll forget it by tomorrow, but I know it today.
The surrogate does weddings to benefit Volunteer Guardianship One-on-One, which is her.
That's
her charity close to her home.
Is that the one that DJ was the president
yep.
of last year, right?
Correct.
Because I remember Bob, who's the attorney that's on there? Shanahan.
Bob Shanahan.
He says, isn't it a little conflict of interest that the undertaker works the ambulance? I never thought about that before.
I thought it's a good business plan.
So what else should we know about the clerk's office from your viewpoint?
What else? Well, many people don't know that Mary Melfi, as the county clerk, allowed the folks in our office to excel and learn different areas of the office.
Hmm.
So, for instance, she'd ask, would anyone like to learn passports or, you know, recording or, you know, the search room? And we had... you know, trained in those areas. So our office is very flexible. If there's someone missing, Mary was insightful. She has other people, not the main people in those departments, but other people
right.
that can fill in, which makes work really easy or easier for everyone, which is really neat because if we're interested in doing something else, she let us do it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people will see us moving around the office, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And you know, we still have those people that are the experts in those departments, and that's who you go to, but it was...
And how do the 14 people break down? What are the various departments that you have?
Well, we have the passport area, which is a very, very busy area.
Okay.
We have the recording area opposite them. We have Mary and Lisa.
And the elections division.
The elections division. And then
search room.
The search room.
So the elections is recording the you're registered to vote?
No.
No?
My role in the election process is I'm responsible for the filing of the county candidates, and then I'm responsible for putting the ballot together.
Okay.
So I do the layout on the ballot. I'm responsible for mailing the sample ballots. I'm responsible for all the vote-by-mail ballots. So anybody that wants to early vote, I call it early voting. My office does that, and we work hand-in-hand with the Board of Elections. And then after the election's over, my office certifies the results. So I tally the night of the election, and then I certify the results.
Wow. So you handle, of the 26 municipalities, nobody does that themselves. You do it for all.
All
so
26.
It's a shared service type thing.
It's the law.
Okay, so
it's
the whole state works that way.
Yeah, it's under the Board of Elections is under the Secretary of State.
Okay. So I know, for instance, when I go to do septics, it's typical time I'm down at Hunterdon County. When I go to Somerset County, they don't have centralized health like that. They do their own by town. So that varies.
Hunterdon County is a, you know, my experience with Hunterdon County is where a shared service can be arranged, they do.
Okay.
And a lot of the municipalities are small. So for, you know, a case in, not a good case, but, you know, animal control, I mean, for every municipality to carry their own animal control officer, they tried to do a countywide, it didn't work out.
Right.
But, you know, in cases, you'll find a lot of municipalities share their CFO.
Yep.
They share their tax assessor.
Fire.
And permitting.
Yeah.
You know, now in the permitting, the county took it over. Like, county does the welfare, social services. That's a countywide shared service.
Okay.
The county does the permits that you seek. And that's under the Board of Health.
Yep.
So, and you know, for the most part, you know, the municipalities are not upset with, go ahead, take it.
Right.
Now, don't mess with my police or my DPW, but you know, you can have my septic systems.
Yep.
So
you have, how many square foot would you say your facility is? Just if you had to guess.
That's a wild question.
Good question.
Sizable though.
It's a pretty decent sized building. It's 3,000 square feet maybe.
Okay, so lots of paper and lots of files, and
correct.
Microfiche for backup or microfiche for.
Well, now everything's scanned and.
That's what I was. What happened if the world's worst happened and a building burnt down? How is that information protected?
Well, it's done through the archive process, and everything is maintained off-site. We have to have a plan with I know the acronym, it's DARM. Which is the Division of Archive Management, Records Management, and
got
you
it.
Have to go in with a plan. Now we scan and it goes, matter of fact, it's out of state, you know, where it gets scanned in, so if something blew up,
so
you know,
there's definitely a scan backup of everything.
There has to be a.
And how frequently does that get scanned?
Daily.
I mean, daily as it comes in.
The law says if you purchase property and it gets recorded, it must be recorded within 48 hours.
Within 48 hours. But do you ever go back and scan the archives again?
We've done that. We're looking at a project now, right?
We're
back to, what year are we back to?
We're
75.
I think that's where Karen is looking.
We're looking to go back to 57.
Okay. So 57 will take us back 60, 70 years, or something. I can't multiply, divide, subtract correctly, but that's a lot of years.
The other, you know, while we're on this, because this is my favorite thing, is I want to tell the people out there, beware of those letters that from these helpful people that are going to get them a copy of their deeds for $89.50.
Mm-hmm.
And may, you know, they pull me off the ceiling every time I get some poor person coming in with this letter and they want their deed. I cannot think of any reason why anybody would have to have a certified copy of their deed. There's no reason. You go to sell your house, you get a title search, and that's done.
Right. I know when I go in, and one of the things I always ask for is either a copy of the deed or a copy of the title. And what I'm trying to certify is that's them, that somebody didn't kill them and is trying to sell their house. I mean, it's just business sense to make sure I've got the right people. But I don't know why you'd need a certified copy either. Your attorney typically keeps a copy, and that's probably in his or her archives. Another thing, and this may be a bit more for the surrogate, is the will process. Do you record the wills, or is that the surrogate's office?
That's the surrogate's court.
Okay, I'm going to save those questions for her then, so I'm going to have to define.
But we do have a shared service with the surrogate's court, so somebody can come in and look at there to see if there is a will on file for somebody before they go trucking over to the
Justice Okay, so maybe this question fits in here. It seems to me there's no logical way to know if you have the latest copy of the will.
The will or the deed?
The will. You're saying deed.
Yeah, I'm not going to answer any will questions.
Okay, got it. That's
this
what I'm going to say.
Not the question.
Got it.
Because as the young kids say, IDK.
IDK, I don't know, IDK, I love it, I love it.
For historical purposes though, we do have an index of the wills from 1804 to 1968, as well as the digitized surrogate computer, which is from 2004 to current, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, I would think so. Because we just went through this recently with somebody, and I think it was out of state, but the question was, how do I know this is the most, even though it says this is the most recent, I would think it would make perfect sense that the deed has to be registered when it's written as part of the deed, not the deed, the will, as part of the will process. There's no way of knowing.
Susan Hoffman can answer that.
Yeah.
The one thing Susan does say when she's out is, and makes people crazy, is you have to wait 10 days to probate a will in New Jersey.
After death?
10-day wait, yeah, from
after
day
death.
To death.
Okay.
And I think she said that's, I guess, so see if there's any other wills out there.
That pop
so
up.
If I come flying in with a will, 10 days for everybody else to come out. But you really need to get Susan in because she is the longest serving surrogate state in New Jersey.
Really?
So, yes,
and how long has she been there?
Wealth of information.
She's been there how long?
Susan's finishing up, I think she's in her 36th year.
Wow.
Susan started there right out of college as a kid.
That's amazing that we have the employees, but this is why we're in Hunterdon County. It's a great place to live and work. Yeah, probably not earning all the money in the world, but it's a sound job, obviously, and the people here are great. I mean, I had a self-defense course at HSAR, which is the Hunter and Somerset Associate of Realtors. I happen to be on the board, but I run the education, and this guy was in teaching us how to defend yourself. And he was talking about deadbolts, and he says, just make sure your locks are deadbolted on a house. I'm saying, deadbolts? 3 out of 4 listings in Hunterdon County, I have to go buy a lock for the house before I can put the lock box on because they haven't been locked since the people owned them. It's that kind of a county. And people look at me like I have two heads. I mean, the only other thing that is almost as strange is when they ask where the fire hydrants are. And we tell the insurance company, no, we fill up out of the lakes. And they said, what?
Yeah.
It's different here, and it's why we're here. It's a great place to live, but it's country living, and it's quite different. I mean, the only fire hydrants if you have a fire hydrant, you're in a town. The one little exception part of Holland has fire hydrants for some reason. No, they have city sewer. They don't have fire hydrants. But that's us. That's us. We're different. So if somebody wants to come in on the 18th, I think we've got that straight. I'm going to pop your particulars up, and you gave them the phone number, and you can just go to the county clerk's site and look it up. What's coming up for the rest of the year at the clerk's office? I mean, the other thing was the passports. The passport, I know we're going to avail ourselves of it because Maryland's is currently expired, and we want to go to Europe in late summer, so I said we better get it. It's laying on the kitchen counter so we don't forget it. I'm sure we're going to lose it.
Well, the other thing that happens with passports that people don't remember is there's a lot of countries that require you to have a valid passport for at least a minimum of 6 months after your return date. So in other words, if you were leaving April 1st and you were going to be there till April 10th, you'd have to count out 6 months that your passport has to be valid for. So if you left it April 1st and it was going to expire May 1st and you said, oh, I'm good, but the country requires a 6-month valid passport, they won't let you on the plane. And we've had people come into the office that have not been able to board the plane.
And what do you do in that case? You just can't go?
Well, they have to call and they have to reschedule their flight, and they have to get an appointment down in Philadelphia or wherever they send them, Connecticut, New York. But and they're really, you know, the last couple of years they're really tightening up if you're getting a first time passport, your birth certificate must list both parents. We found that people from my generation, the baby boomers, a lot of times their birth certificate does not list both parents. Mm-hmm. And they have to go back to where they were born and get it's called a long form, and that needs to be submitted. It takes currently about 6 weeks for normal processing, but I think they're going to get busier because we really have had an onslaught of, it is just not, it's relentless. Relentless with the passports, which is good, you know, but
I know I used to, in my sales travels, go to Canada and Mexico. The only place I needed a passport was Bermuda, because it's really not, it too is a foreign country, but that requires, only reason I wanted a passport there is that it made it quicker to get through customs.
Right.
Because there were so many damn tourists. I'm sorry about that, tourists. There were so many tourists that when I went in there, I actually had working papers for Bermuda for a while. So you're saying 6 months after you return, it's got
to
be.
You have to check your country. You have to check the country you're visiting.
Good.
Not all of them. A lot of the high-end countries that they don't want you in there. You know,
right.
They don't want you hanging around. They make it. You know, St. Martin's one of the islands. You have to have a 6-month.
So what? Now, how does a passport differ from a visa? Visa is some countries require visas and some don't, I think.
Correct, and that's a visa. My office has
nothing to do with
visa.
So that's a government agency you've got to go through and it's called a travel or a work or a student visa, depending on what you're going to do there. I guess you could be a resident visa, too.
But, you know, I've gotten lots, like I said, this has been a very, very supportive freeholder board as far as our office is concerned. And we add hours as we need them. We're going to be open every Saturday in March, probably every Saturday in April, except for Easter weekend.
Okay.
And probably every Saturday in May, except for Memorial Day weekend. And then that'll get people through the summertime. And then at that point, I'll take a look at it and see how much more we want to do.
Well, it definitely sounds like you got your hands full. And it definitely sounds like it's a labor of love.
It's good.
It's a labor of love. How did you find the position as county clerk? I mean, you were sitting there happily doing something at the fur company, Flemington Fur.
Actually, Dottie Turpock, who was the county clerk prior to me.
Okay.
She was in office for 25 years. And I was on the borough council, and I was thinking about running for mayor.
Okay.
And Dottie said to me, we went to political events together, and Dottie said, I'm going to retire. I think you ought to run for clerk.
Interesting.
And I said, I don't think so, because I think I'll be bored out of my mind. Because, in town, I like DOT, I like the police, I like road work. And I said, I think I'm going to be bored. And she's like, no, you'll really like it.
Well.
And she was right. I've never, ever been so happy in my life. I get up, I'm at my desk every morning by 6:30.
Wow.
I answer my own phone. That always blows people's mind. I'm like, well, who else is going to answer it? Yeah. Sue's busy. She's in the search room, you know. So, you know, I'm in every morning at 6:30. I answer my own phone. I'm surrounded by staff like Sue that makes, I'll hear her being so excited. I'll say, what happened? And, well, they found a piece of property they've been looking for 2 weeks. So,
So it's like an Easter egg hunt.
Always good.
Amazing. So how did you find your position? I mean, you're here 16 years, you said?
I'm going on my 14th year.
14th year. So you came here from the retail industry.
I did. I was looking for a position. Interestingly enough, I did have to use the resources in the search room.
Right.
When I had to do some legal work. So I knew it existed, but most people don't even know they can walk in and start doing research.
Okay.
So it's a hidden archive of amazing things. I knew it existed. There was a position open. In 2003, the county clerk's office was booming with all the refinancing.
Right.
And they needed temps, so I filled in an application and loved it. It was a little busy to really know what I was doing. It was a lot of learning, a lot of learning.
Yeah.
Always continuously learning. But and I just stayed on.
Super. And what is the average tenure? You've got 14 people. How long has the average person been there? Forever?
I bet you the average person is 18 to 20 years.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, my deputy's been there for 30 years. My supervisor's been there almost 30 years. It's just, nobody realizes what they have in the county, because it's not just my office. You know, there's a lot of talent in this county.
It was eye-opening going through the Leadership 101 program. I met so many people, and I found out so many things. I didn't know we had a whole senior services division. I mean, there's a whole building for senior services. The transportation we've got, it's called...
The Link.
You can go, they'll take you to New York if you really need to go to New York. They won't do it on a regular basis, but if you have a doctor's appointment in New York, they'll get you there. They just need a little notice. They'll get you anywhere in the county in a day's notice for a dollar or two. And then to get the regular loop set up, they actually have it connected to Bridgewater Mall so you can get over there and back on a regular. So it's, there's a lot here. There's a couple of things. I know I was talking to Rob when he was here. I said, we're trying to stop the millennials from going to New York. I don't think we're ever going to stop that. Maybe we could slow it down a little. If you get a four-year degree, you probably want to go to New York. I said, but why can't we stop the seniors from going to Pennsylvania? That would be, you know.
Well, that might happen with the change in the taxes now that they're not going to tax, you know. Everybody's mad about the gas tax.
Right.
They don't look at the other side of that, where you're not going to get your pension taxed anymore.
Right.
They got rid of the inheritance tax, you know, so...
I think that phases in over about 2 years,
but
you're right.
But there's some good things happening where, you know, you could stay.
Interesting. Because one of the things we've looked at is 55-plus housing. We're at a point where I sold my mega mansion in... It's got to be 6 years ago, and we've been renting. We said, let's rent for a year till we decide what we want to do. I just knew that the price was going down, and it home-owned us. We had a 4,300 square foot. Two of us, we had to call each other on the phone. We couldn't find each other in a house. I said, what are we doing? Well, they want to sell it and go have some fun. And we're still having fun, but I never bought anything. So we're now looking for what's in the 55-plus on one floor. Well, we have very little. There's a little bit in Flemington Fields. There's a little bit in something called DeVoe Farm across the circle from where the big barn is there. But we don't have a lot of 55-plus that's affordable in Huntington. We don't have a lot to start with.
No, and like you get over, when you get over in Walnut Brook,
yep.
they go by like, hey, Sue, I'm selling my house. How much you want for it? I mean,
right.
It never hits the market.
That's what I'm hearing.
You know,
that's
that stuff is sold out.
So how I encountered this was I have some people that are looking to sell their houses and get into senior housing, and they can't find anything. So they're over in Canal Walk, which has got 950 units and still building. There's a in Somerset, there's a lot more senior housing at lower rates. Our average price in Huntington was like $475,000 last year because I did a study on it. It's higher. Most people have a $600,000 home with about 50-60% equity. They want to sell it, buy a 55-plus, and just move into it and live there. They're in the right town in the wrong house. We don't have a lot of it. So what DJ says is they go to Pennsylvania because they can come back here so easily, and then when they finally do die, he meets them again, and they're just going there to save the taxation money. But part of it is there's not housing they can afford here either.
Mm-mm. No, not for what they want.
And that's what I said to Rob. I said, that'd be easier to stop than the millennials from leaving, because seniors spend money. They we're a bedroom community, but they're paying a mortgage here, they're buying the groceries here, they're paying the taxes here. There's a lot of money going here.
Well, and, you know, and we watch the news with my other half. I mean, we may pay taxes out the roof, but you watch every night there's some weather disaster somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, would you want to live in California right now, the Midwest?
No.
You know. I mean, so what? You pay $2,000 a year in taxes or $1,000 a year in taxes, but your house can get wiped out once a year with with tornadoes? No, thank you.
Well, Christy was at the Annandale Firehouse about 2 months ago, and I heard him talk. And I think he said it best. He was talking about the Abbott School District and how he hates it, and he'd like to be unproportionate and whatever. And Ciccarelli, still can't say
Chitterelli.
Chitterelli said the same thing, but he went even deeper with it. But he said, you know, you're paying the highest taxes. He was talking to Clinton Township here in the state, but maybe you're happy paying the highest taxes. You've got a great style, quality of living. You've got great, as part of the quality of living, low crime, very little crime, if any. There's, yes, there's always some drugs, no matter where you're at, and some crime, but not a lot of crime. We don't have any murders here or drive-by shootings. Yeah, good time. Oh, I hope not. But his point was, I'd like to get you that $1,800 back that you're now sending to over Abbott School District so that it's even better yet. But I think, I know when we came here, we were both in Middlesex County. We just loved the country lifestyle. And I caught a plane out of Newark Airport, so that I just commuted to Newark. And Marilyn went, well, she still does, all the way back to Rutgers, all the way back every day. So she hates the drive, but loves where she winds up every night. So it's a wonderful place to live. And to hear that people are in average of 18 years and love their job and not going anywhere is a wonderful thing to hear. And then the other thing I do real estate wise is I bring about a half a dozen families. I sell about 24, about two houses a month on the average. And I bring about a half a dozen families into Hunterdon County. And what I'm witnessing is that they're either, like we were, seniors looking for, getting close to being a senior, looking for quality of life and just want to live in the country, or people between their first and second child just looking for a better place for the kids to grow up. But I don't see people coming back. I think once the millennials go east, they don't come back. And then I've interviewed a lot of people as part of the project last year to find that as soon as the kids are out of school, they're going east. So we're losing population, not quickly, but it's a bit of erosion through death and transferring out or retiring to the south, but it's more of people aren't moving into the area the way they used to, which hurts. And that's, I got onto the tourism board that's still being formed to sort of help attract people to the area, and that's one of the things we want to do is make people, I think Cust with his Diamond Nation, where you come to play, you stay in a hotel two nights, you eat in restaurants for 3 days, you fall in love maybe and move here eventually. I think that's what we need to do with the tourism. Come on out and do the wine fest and the bloom fest and stay overnight and fall in love with the place. Great place to live. Great place to work, obviously. And it was good to catch up and understand everything that's going on. So our hours come to an end. I mean, it's amazing how quick time goes. Yeah. We'll just repeat that we're going to have on the 18th of March, we're going to have Search the Records Room Day, and that starts at 9 in the morning?
Correct.
And you can call Mary at her office or just call the clerk's office. Why don't you give us that number one more time?
908-788-1214.
And Sue, anything we missed you wanted to talk about?
No, just come to Search in the Search Room or come to our office and see what we have.
I can vouch for it. I was there last year, and it was very eye-opening. I mean, how many people listening realize that both Morris and
Mercer.
I know that an M, were part of Hunterdon County. I mean, if nothing else, I learned something I'll never forget. And when I tell people, I said, really? I learned that in Search the Search Room Day. So thanks again for coming on. Greg's going to be coming on in a few minutes with his show, and I'll be back next week. We're going to do our monthly real estate recap, and I'd like to once again thank both Mary and Sue for coming on, and I think we'll follow up and do the surrogate sometime in the near future. Sounds like another interesting opportunity. Thanks again.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The program that we've talked about today that the House rolled out last night is a program that puts people in charge of their own coverage, and they can go out and get that access through the safety nets and the other things that we are providing.
White House budget head Mick Mulvaney appearing today on the Today Show talking about the Republicans' repeal of Obamacare and the replacement package. Mulaney shot down early critics, saying it's unfair to compare the GOP plan with what they hoped Obamacare may have been.
I don't think it's fair to want to compare what we're proposing today to what Obamacare might have been. You have to compare it to what Obamacare is, and it's a failure.
Another attempt to block the Dakota Access Pipeline has been rejected. A federal judge denied the Cheyenne River Sioux's request to temporarily stop the controversial project on religious freedom grounds. The pipeline runs under Lake Oahe. The tribe uses that lake for sacred ceremonies. The judge said there was no action.